And joining me right now here on the Mark Moses Show to go over the latest on the Orlando Magic. We're getting ready for the NBA playoffs. It's good to hear that. This guy does a great job covering the team. He's my good friend Philip Rosenreich with Orlando Magic Daily. Philip, how you doing today?
I am doing good. How are you doing?
Hey, I loved seeing you on Sunday. That was a gigantic game. It was a big win. How'd the Magic get it done against the Bucks?
I mean, some of it is just will. In the playoffs, I hate to like break things down to things you can't measure and things that are you just kind of feel in your gut. But at a certain point, it just becomes about will. You know, this team knows how good they are and knows what they can do. And it's just about execution. It's just about going out there and doing the thing that you know you need to do. They got down early against Milwaukee, and you just never sensed any type of panic. You never sensed that they felt like they weren't doing the right things. And having that faith in who they've been for the, past 81 games before that, having faith that if they stick with their defense, that they were doing good things defensively, that, they cleaned some things up, that they were going to be able to kind of get themselves back in the game. And then they just went out there and made plays. I mean, Doc Rivers said it after the game. Jonathan Isaac really changed that game in the second quarter. He had those two blocks right at the rim, and that kind of stuff just energizes a team. And, sometimes, you just need a play to go your way. You just need kind of one of those 50-50 plays. And so all of a sudden, all the, 50-50 balls, all the balls on the ground that the Bucks were getting, the Magic got every single one of those, and they turned them into points. And that's how you turn these kind of playoff intensity games. And, that's a big lesson for this team, and they were able to get it done.
You bring up Jonathan Isaac. Second start of the season, how big of a move was that for Coach Mosley to put Isaac in the starting lineup?
It's a big one. I think a lot of people have been calling for Jonathan Isaac to start. And I think that there's a lot of reasons to start Jonathan Isaac, or certainly a lot of reasons to play him kind of starter level minutes as much as you can. But it's a huge risk in a do or die win and in game like that. Typically coaches go with what they trust, whether it's the right thing or the wrong thing, they're going to go with what they trust. So to make a major lineup change, I'm pretty sure that lineup that was out there on Sunday to start that game, they probably hadn't played more than 24 minutes together. They probably hadn't played more than a half of basketball together before that. It was a huge risk, I think, from Jamal Mosley to say, we got to try something different. We got to try something we've never tried before in a game with so much stakes. And it proved, obviously, to be the right call, although Orlando did get off to a very slow start again. Orlando's trying to figure out how to get off to better starts. They've lost 11 of their last 13. They lost 11 of their last 13 first quarters. They got off to a rough start. They trailed by 8 at the end of the first quarter. But, eventually they knew what they trusted. They knew what would work, and they knew who they had to go to make sure they got this win, who would make those kinds of plays, and obviously it paid off for them.
It's very like a baseball manager type move where like you're in the playoffs. That sort of reminded me of it. But did this organization, the way they played all last week in those losses on the road, did they need a spark like Jonathan Isaac starting that game?
I mean, more than anything, I think they needed to be at home. I think they probably needed to mix something up and do something a little bit different. Honestly, it's not even the Jonathan Isaac decision that gets me. I think playing Markelle Fultz only 6 minutes in Sunday's game, kind of recognizing Markelle isn't helping us win right now. And in this particular matchup, in this particular game, he's not working. And so you saw very quickly kind of Jamal Mosley see lineups that weren't working and be like, I got to trash this. I can't go with this as long as I've usually gone with things, They tightened their rotation up a little bit. So the Magic really, really, I think, adjusted and started to, like, really get into a playoff mode that maybe they weren't in. And so those earlier games because of, maybe they're dealing with some injuries. They had that back-to-back in the middle of the week. They're on the road. Finding that energy and finding kind of the will. I hate using kind of weird, kind of very vague terms like that. Is just so important for this young team as they learn how to win these games.
Should Coach Mosley win Coach of the Year?
If he's not a finalist, I think we'll, a lot of people should be very upset. Mark Daniel from the Oklahoma City Thunder, he won the Coaches Association's Coach of the Year award. Jamal Mosley did get some votes for that. I do think Daniel is probably going to win it. He coached the youngest team to ever be the number one seed in a conference. The Thunder are a really, really good team. I think he's definitely deserving of it. But Jamal Mosley should absolutely be in the conversation. The team made another 13-win gain from last year. This team being the five seed with how young they are, I think they're the third or fourth youngest roster in the league. It's a huge step forward, and you know, I think it definitely deserves recognition. He should at least be a finalist. If he's not a finalist, then I'm going to question whether the voters are actually watching basketball.
I agree with you. Phil Rossenreich, Orlando Magic Daily, joining us. I think of hindsight, if the Magic would have lost that game on Sunday, I think you just put a fork in them. I think then they go to the play-in tournament. I think they lose there. I think that was a gigantic win for this organization. Do you feel that way?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if I would have put a fork in them. Like, I'm a big believer in this team. You know, I deal with a lot of fans who are, you know, in despair over the last week, and I was like, hey guys, like, we knew this week was going to be trouble. Like, when the schedule came out in August, we said that closing kick, Milwaukee, Philadelphia, Milwaukee, the Magic better have their work done early, because they're probably going to lose those last three games. Maybe Milwaukee won't need that last game. Mm. We knew that this end to the season was going to be very, very rough. And look, I thought they played okay in Milwaukee. They played really well in Philadelphia. And I came out of that Philadelphia game saying, if they play the way they played in Philadelphia Sunday against Milwaukee, they're going to win and they're going to be fine. And so I went into that game Sunday with a ton of confidence. Going to Miami would have been very daunting. Don't get me wrong. If the Magic had to play the Heat tonight, that would have been a really difficult game. But I think, as we saw, this Magic team is a very different team at home at the Kia Center. They went 28-12 at home. They were 28-11 at the Kia Center this year. They are a really tough team to play. And so, yes, you know, beating Chicago five times in a season is really tough. Yes, beating Atlanta in that play-in game would have been really tough. But they are very capable of defending their home court. I don't think Sunday, if they would have lost, they would have been out of it. Obviously, it would have been very nervy, and put a lot more pressure on the team that maybe they've been struggling with. I think Orlando would have held on and got in.
Did they dodge a bullet not playing Giannis as well on Sunday?
I mean, yes. If Giannis were playing, starting Jonathan Isaac would have been a no-brainer. You would have had to start him and had to try and match his minutes with Giannis. But, you know, that's how the schedule goes. You know, you can't control who the other team has. You can only control what you can do. And honestly, like, I think that's the biggest lesson from all of this. You know, the Magic lost to the Bucks without Chris Middleton, too. They beat them when Chris Middleton isn't. Does that mean Chris Middleton's a bad player? No, it means Milwaukee's really bad on the road this year. The Magic and the Bucks have the same road record this year. You got to take care of yourself. I think ultimately, like, as fun as it was to track what other teams were doing and track the playoff races, I think the ultimate lesson from everything is you take care of your business. And that needs to be the message coming into this playoff series. You're worried about Cleveland. They're game planning for Cleveland. But you got to do what you need to do to win games. And if you do that, everything else will take care of itself.
All right. The voice of the Magic, David Steele, he tweeted, this was one of my favorite seasons covering the team. They're young, and I loved his enthusiasm. You covered this team all season, Philip Rossenreich, for Orlando Magic Daily. Did you enjoy this ride of seeing this team get the fifth seed?
Yeah, absolutely. Like, this is, I would agree with David. This is one of the more enjoyable teams that I've covered in my years covering the Magic. You could just sense from the very beginning of the season that there was a different level of camaraderie and a different kind of, like, togetherness and chemistry that was inherent in this team. And you saw it kind of come out throughout the course of the year. And, you know, I've kind of been joking with people about this too. Like, there is nothing more fun than a young team figuring out how to win for the first time. Mm-hmm. Like, there is nothing more fun as a fan. There's nothing more fun as an organization, as a franchise, watching a team begin to win every day and begin to enter games expecting to win every game. I said before the last 10 game mark, I was like, hey guys, like, this team is good enough. They can win all 10 of these games. They're probably not going to, but they can win all 10 of these games. They've proven to us that they can do it, and to begin to inspire that confidence is fun. And on top of that, like, as much as it's exciting to be in the playoffs and be the five seed, like, everything now feels like gravy. Like, just getting there, like, you know, there's a little bit of a, hey, we made it, we're happy to be here with this team, and I think it's deserved. They're good enough to win this series, too, but it's deserved to feel like, hey, we made it a little bit. Everything else feels like the cherry on top, because this is the last year they don't have pressure to win in the playoffs. Next year, they're the five seed this year. Next year, we want them to have home court advantage. Next year, we want them to get to the second round. This is a year that was kind of all about growth, discovery, and learning, and that stuff is really, really start getting serious and be like, okay, how do we start working our way toward the gold trophy at the end of the season?
We're here with Philip Rostenreich, Orlando Magic Daily. Love your answer. I go even further back where I think of the rebuild, where they trade Aaron Gordon, Evan Fournier, and Vucevic pretty much all in the same day. And that kind of set us to, all right, we're at step one now. And then I think of the draft where you get Cole Anthony, and then you get Franz Wagner and Jalen Suggs. And you and me have been here for this whole process, and it's been like a four or five years of getting to this point. And my favorite part, and I want to get your take, is you and me have been on the air together. We've talked about, hey, can they get an all-star? Can they get a guy to get us 20-plus points a night? And I think of Sunday, Philip, where Paolo got aggressive and started scoring that first half, and then Franz took over. They have two players that could be all-stars for years to come. That's what gets me excited. How about you?
Yeah, absolutely. And like, that's like, I think that's a really important point. Like, Mo Wagner's made this point throughout the course of the season. Like, this season isn't just the work that they put in this season. This season is 3 years building to this point. And so if everyone in that organization and everyone on that floor feels like really, really, like, feels really intense and happy about making the playoffs, it's because they've been working on this for 3 years. They believed in something that felt very far off in the distance, and the organization stuck with a lot of the same roster. The players really stuck together and believed in it. They made this happen. And so there really does feel like there's a lot of ownership over this. You know, if it feels like, you know, Jamal Mosley trusts his players a little bit more than maybe fans would, it's because they put in the sweat equity to build that trust, to build that kind of, to build that you know, that belief in what they can do. And I would say to fans too, like, this is not the end of the journey. Like, you know, 2019 was a really fun year. That was a great run to get to the playoffs. But it definitely felt like, okay, we need X, Y, Z things to happen, and it's very unlikely that they're going to happen. We hope they happen. But, you know, Aaron Gordon becoming an all-star, that was the next level for the 2019 team, and it didn't happen. That's, you know, this team is completely different. You know, we are now in a multi-year journey. You know, people kind of yelled at me for, you know, when I'm talking about the long-term picture for this team, people kind of yelled at me for saying, look, this season is not about this season. It, you know, where the Magic finish this season, as long as they get to the playoffs, that's really all that matters, because this is the first step in this long journey to try and compete for a championship now. That's, you know, that's what the Magic should be eyeing, or where the Magic should be thinking and heading next is, okay, how do we get from this spot to the next spot? Obviously there's still going to be more work to put in. We're not at the end of the road, but this is definitely a major moment for this franchise to celebrate.
Okay. This is the tough question, and there's no wrong answers here. I think the fans, the casual fans who feel jaded about just losing and losing and losing. And I don't blame them. I don't think they're on the bandwagon yet. I think the diehards, I think they're excited. I still feel like there's kind of this, like, I don't know, the Magic, we don't have Shaq or Penny. Do you kind of feel that way, where not everyone's on the bandwagon yet?
I honestly don't feel that way. The Magic's attendance, even last year, maybe it was just curiosity about Paolo Banchero, but having the number one pick. But even last year, attendance was notably up for the Magic. And even when they started 5-20, the attendance didn't really drop off at all last year. Like fans still showed up to, it felt like every game. You know, they didn't sell out as many games last year as they did this year, but you could tell there was just a different energy around the fan base about this team. Like people could see, like, oh, there is something here. You know, there is something to build on here. And this year, you know, I thought the fans at the Kia Center were fantastic. You know, again, Magic went 28-11 at the Kia Center. They had the one loss in Mexico City, which was technically a home game.
Yeah.
But they brought a lot of energy. Like, some of the loudest games that I have heard in that building for the Magic were this year. And obviously the Magic had like 3 or 4 of their top 10 attended games of all time this season. I think the playoffs are going to be electric. I think this fan base is going to bring it. And so when I think of casual fans, that's kind of, you know, when I think of casual fans, I think of the, you know, and this is not to downplay your level of fandom, please, you know, don't do that. I think of the people who, you know, maybe follow the team cursorily, go to 1 or 2 games a year. Those people are definitely more invested and more interested in this team than ever before. You know, where I think there is some difference now, and I think this is the pressure that comes with success, is I think, you know, we live in this culture where it's, you know, all or nothing. You know, you're either winning a championship or you should be tanking. And the Magic are in this kind of intermediary step. There's a lot of people who I think want more too fast or who are expecting a lot more, a lot quicker. Like last week, people were freaking out. They're saying we were the 3 seed on Sunday. Now we may not even make the play, and this season's a failure. I'm just like, guys, like this week was going to be tough. We knew that. They're a young team. They're going to figure it out. They just have to get in. And you know, it doesn't matter where they're seated. You know, they're probably coming back down to earth a little bit. That's okay. Mm-hmm. They're learning, and learning is still more important right now. It's you know, I think there's just, I would say this about the Magic this year. They raised the bar of what fans should expect from them. And, you know, like I said, this year's kind of the pressure-free year. Do whatever you're going to do. Enjoy the ride. Next year, there's going to be real pressure on them to win and not only match what they've done this year, but exceed it. And that'll be the new experience for everybody in the franchise that they have to measure up to.
I agree. And by the way, I was one of those people who was jumping off the bridge when I'm like, wait, are they going to be the 9th seed? What's going to happen here? That was me last week.
Luckily, they couldn't fall that far. They couldn't fall that far this week, luckily.
Okay. So here's what I see at the arena. That you haven't seen this in years past. Now, there are fans. They're wearing player jerseys. So you see the Cole Anthony jersey. People wear that. People wear the Jalen Suggs. I see Franz Wagner, and the number one jersey, you see it as well, number 5. Paolo Banchero is the jersey to get. Do you agree with this, Philip?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, look, you can't go wrong with any of those guys.
No.
Like, they're all really, really good. But, like, you know, look, Paolo is the one that stirs the drink, you know, for the way you have to phrase that, I guess. He is the one that makes everything in this roster go and everything in this roster work. You know, they throw a lot of double teams at him. He sees more, you know, I think he's top 5 or top 10 in the league in the percentage of times he's double teamed when he touches the ball. You know, everyone on the roster knows that he soaks up a lot of attention and has a lot of responsibility. And what I think is really impressive about this young man is, you know, he doesn't seem bothered by any of it. Like, he seems like he's always kind of calm and collected. And, you know, he's learned how to start too. So he's going to make mistakes. He's going to make mistakes in this playoff series. Don't jump off the Paolo bandwagon. Just because he has a bad game in the playoffs. But, you know, he's really taken on a huge leadership role, which is a big ask for a 21-year-old. And, you know, been someone that's been able to elevate this team in a way that the Magic haven't had a star to elevate a team the way Paolo has since Dwight Howard. And so, you know, Magic have their franchise player that's going to hopefully lead them to playoff berths for years to come.
Let's end with this with Phil Rosenreich, and I appreciate you coming on. Okay, Game 1 is Saturday at Cleveland. What do you think of this matchup? I know they went 2-2 in the regular season. What are your thoughts?
I think it's going to be a really interesting matchup. You know, these are two top 10 defenses. So if you are a fan of 1990s basketball and
yes,
you hate scoring with a passion, this is your series. I will go on the record. I think we will have a game where neither team gets to 100 points. I really think that this is going to be a kind of drag-out defensive battle. And obviously, I think the big difference is Cleveland has Donovan Mitchell and Darius Garland. They have two guards who are dynamic scorers who can beat good defense. And so, when I take an early look at this series, and Magic fans are going to be very annoyed about this, I think the series comes down to three-point shooting. Are the Magic making their threes, or are the Cavs making their threes? If the Magic can force the Cavs to miss some threes, they're going to have a real shot to win and win multiple games in this series. If Cleveland comes out scorching, if they hit a bunch of their threes, the Magic don't have the offense to keep up, especially against a really strong defensive team like the Cavs with a guy in Evan Mobley who's going to defend one of Paolo Banchero or Franz Wagner and kind of knock them out of the game. They have a great rim protector, Jared Allen. It's going to be a fascinating series because these two teams are very much alike. Cleveland's probably a little bit further ahead on the development scale. But it's going to be a fascinating series, and it's going to be six or seven games of war. It's going to be nasty and brutal, and it's going to be a lot of fun to watch.
I agree with you. The guards on Cleveland are better on offense. And you're right. Mitchell can drop 40. He's done it in the playoffs. He has experience. Yep. I think Paolo and Franz are better down. If you're going forwards, I think the Magic have the key there. That's why I thought home court was so big. And it's disappointing they didn't get it, but I think we're going six or seven for this. I would not be shocked. I think we talked about this last week, where Cleveland wins game one, where they just overwhelm Orlando, where they don't have their feet wet, and then they got to get the split in the first. Like, you got to win game two. That's how I look at the first two. How about you?
I mean the way I look at this is Orlando's got to find a way to win one road game. Obviously that's math. If they win their home games, they got to find a way to win once in Cleveland. I think you really got to take this series game by game because every game is going to be a little bit different. I don't know what to expect in game one. Like I honestly have no idea what to expect, how this team's going to respond. It would not surprise, if you look at, honestly, like this series could very well be a quarter series. If you look at the two games that Cleveland won against Orlando, in the season series, they won the first quarter 37-20 in the matchup in December in Cleveland. They won the first quarter, I think, 38-19 in the matchup in Orlando in January that they won in a kind of a runaway blowout. We talked about at the beginning, winning first quarters is really huge. The Magic cannot fall behind by multiple points. So if Cleveland does come out and blitz Orlando early, we've seen that script before. That first quarter in Cleveland in game one, it's going to tell us a lot about this team's maturity and poise, and going to tell us, how ready they are for this moment. I think you're right about that. We're going to learn a whole lot about this Magic team very, very, very quickly in game one on Saturday.
My thing is, and I'll let you go, and we're going to, talk more playoffs moving forward, which gets me very excited. I feel like Paolo could get his 20. Like, all right, that's going to happen. Can Franz attack the rim with his Euro step? Can he get you 25?
Yeah.
That's my question.
This is honestly, like this is, I think this series gets determined on really like two or three things. The 3-point shooting is my big thing.
Yes.
Like I think the 3-point shooting is a big thing. Cleveland does not have a good second forward. Evan Mobley is going to guard one of the two players. I think they put him on Franz Wagner throughout much of the season series. And he shut down Franz Wagner. Franz averaged, I think, 16 points per game, shot less than 40% from the field. The Magic are going to have to attack using the forward Evan Mobley's not guarding. Like, Evan Mobley is that good of a defender. I know he's had kind of a weird season, an up-and-down season, but he is a very good defender. He has the size and the mobility to deal with Paolo or Franz, but Cleveland only has one of them. And so whether it's Max Strus, whether it's Isaac Okoro, the Magic have a matchup advantage, I think, with whoever Evan Mobley is not guarding. And so it's going to be interesting to see how Cleveland deploys him and how they use Jared Allen in the paint. Having Wendell Carter hit a couple threes early would go a long way to opening up the lane for Paolo and Franz to get to the basket, because Cleveland's got size. They've got some really good defenders, but they have weak spots that you can test and you can hit. And the Magic are going to have to kind of, figure out how to hit that and then hit it hard when they do.
Philip Rostenreich, Orlando Magic Daily. Follow him on Twitter. It's a must for NBA playoff action, which includes the Orlando Magic. My man, thanks for your help, and I'll talk to you next week.
I'll talk to you soon, Mark.